Thank you so much, dear brother. What a joy to be here. I know our time is short, so I'm going to get right to it, but I'm glad Dr. Thornberry called attention to my brown-eyed baby, because I figure if I bomb, I can just tell you to look over there and everything will be okay, because she's so marvelous. It is a short time that we have, so let me ask us to quiet our hearts for a moment before the Lord, and then we get right into God's Word. With the psalmist, O God, we pray. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. This is our prayer in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Every book, without exception, has a purpose. It may be a mercenary purpose. It may be nothing more than to make money or to pad a resume for the author, but every book has a purpose. The best books, of course, have a substantive purpose. They really want to accomplish something. There's something the author feels that he or she can contribute to human well-being. I have here one of my favorite books, one of my favorite writers, the late Peter Drucker, who almost single-handedly developed the field of leadership as we know it today. He wrote this wonderful book back more than 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Managing for Results, in which he starts out saying, this is a what-to-do book. He says, I want to make a kind of first attempt at systematizing what executives should do to be effective. That's a pretty good purpose. Many, many years ago, in the 5th century B.C., the great Greek historian Herodotus wrote a book that we know today as the Histories. And in the second sentence of the Histories, Herodotus says that his purpose was to prevent the traces of human events from being erased by time and to preserve the fame of the achievements both of Greeks and non-Greeks, and in particular, he said, to explain the Persian War. That was quite a purpose. 500 years before Herodotus, Solomon wrote the Proverbs. As the rabbis were fond of saying, he wrote Song of Solomon, about sexual love in his youth. He wrote Ecclesiastes in his old age, and in the prime of his life, he wrote Proverbs. But he tells us at the outset of Proverbs that he had a purpose. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now to the purpose. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Now, what we're going to discover here is that Solomon has actually a kind of complex of purposes. It's not just this one purpose. This is just the beginning of a kind of complex of purposes. And for this first one, I need a prop. And here's the prop. Now, perhaps he did it intentionally, but Dr. Thornberry already told you that one of my avocations is motorcycles. I'm a biker. And if you're a biker, then you know what this is and you know what it's for. If you're not, you may just think this is silly or that I just do this to get attention. No, it has a purpose. If you're a biker, there's a whole world, there's a whole culture of things that you learn and know and understand. If you're a biker, you know what a fat boy is and you know what a soft tail is. And if you're not a biker, I'll tell you right now, it's not what you think. There's even a biker salute, but I can't show you that because if I tell you, I have to kill you.
Well, what does Solomon mean in verse 2? What he means is, just as in any subculture, there is a lingo, there's a language, there are markers, just so in life, and in particular, the life of God, in particular, the life of wisdom. So Solomon says, my first purpose is to introduce to you, to initiate you in this world, this life of wisdom, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to get introduced to the world of wisdom. Now let me just stop right here and say very quickly, this is an astonishing statement. You might not think it is, but it is. Because in our culture, wisdom is irrelevant. I took the liberty this morning. What do I mean, took the liberty? It's my own computer. I don't take liberties. I can just do it. But anyway, this morning I printed out today's homepage for Yahoo. Here's life in America. Yahoo sites in alphabetical order, except the first one, which is mail. Alphabetical order: autos, dating, finance, Flickr, games, horoscopes, hot jobs, local, messengers, movies, OMG! Shopping, sports, travel, updates, video, weather, and my favorites, and I'm not telling you what those are. The usual: Facebook, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. And then trending now, there's Michael Douglas, Katy Perry, dementia. Tax credits, Romanian witch trial, one-child policy, and bachelor's degree. That's life. There's no wisdom on there anywhere. There's no hint of wisdom there anywhere. In fact, if you want to find wisdom on the internet, you got to, you know, do a search, and you'll pull up 57. You'll get 57 million hits. But if you type in movies, you'll get 1.67 billion. In other words, wisdom is simply not on the radar for almost anybody in modern culture. And so Solomon says, first of all, I want you to understand that there is a different kind of life. So first, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. Number two, verse three, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, at first glance, this appears to be saying the same thing in different words, but it isn't. And the key there is that little word, receive. In this translation, you might have the word take or something similar, some other synonym. It's a very interesting word in Hebrew. It's the same word used in Hebrew, for example, in Genesis 24:7. It's the same word used in Hebrew for taking a wife. So, Solomon says, it's not just that I want you to be introduced to this other world of wisdom that nobody ever talks about, but I want you to, to use a legitimate analogy, I want you to marry up with this life. I want you to take this for a wife. I was in the Navy back during Vietnam, and it was quite the experience, but anyway, short version, I arrived at boot camp late, like midnight. The next morning, I get my head shaved and a uniform that doesn't fit and blah, 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 and anyway, every morning, I'm in boot camp in Orlando, Florida in the summertime, and so we go to Chow Hall. My mama used to say at that hour of the day, decent folks should be home in bed. But we're up there in the chow hall, packed as tightly as we can, and right up there on the platform, barking orders in language that I can't repeat here, being called everything on earth, is this guy in the classic white sailor's hat, which we don't have yet, because for the first 5 weeks, you are lower than low. You are called things that, again, I can't repeat. But anyway, so I assume this guy up there is some kind of big muckety-muck in the Navy. He must be an officer or something. I don't know. That's all I know. You know what I found out? What I found out was he had been in the Navy exactly 4 weeks longer than I had. But he was saying things to us such as, don't you dare swat those flies. Those are blankety, blankety, blank military flies. What had happened was, in 4 weeks' time, he was spitting polished military. Solomon says, I want you not just to understand that there is a life, a different kind of life, this life of wisdom, but you've got to embrace this life. Verse 4, number 3, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Solomon continues to build his complex purpose statement. So the third part of it is that he wants Proverbs to give prudence to the simple. Now, the key here is simple. What does he mean by the simple? Well, let's take a look. We have a little video clip, so let's take 30 seconds and find out what the simple is.
At Cheez-It, we expect a lot from our cheese.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cheese.
Interrupting?
Cheese!
Should have seen that one come.
You should have, because that was, I even told you I was going to be interrupting you. Morning, sir. Beautiful day, isn't it?
We take the time for our cheese to mature before we bake it into every delicious cracker. Because at Cheez-It, real cheese matters.
All right, we've got any Cheez-It fans here? Yeah. Whoa, wow, look at this. Well, you know, you watch that and you almost immediately, because that's what the commercial wants you to do, you gravitate toward the cheese, this immature cheese, which is not ready. But in Solomon's language, the simple is both the cheese and the guy in the white lab coat. I mean, my granddaughter loves this thing. She loves this commercial, and she pulls this on me. They were up here last weekend, and she pulls this on me. Knock, knock. Who's there? Interrupting cheese. Granddaddy says, interrupt cheese! But of course, Granddaddy knows better. He's not taken in, but did you notice the guy in the white lab coat said, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah, you should have. I've told you.
So it's not just the cheese that's not ready. It's the guy in the lab coat who's not ready. Solomon says the purpose of the Proverbs is to introduce you to this life so that you understand what it is and that you commit to it and that over time as you practice this kind of wisdom, live it out, you yourself are transformed from simple to serious. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now verse 5, he continues. Is building his picture of wisdom, the complex purpose. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Now, this is kind of a paradoxical verse. And there are lots of paradoxical verses in the Proverbs. This is certainly one. What's paradoxical about it is that when Solomon began explaining his purposes, each one up to this point has been in the form of to do something or to have something or to be something, to know, to receive, to give. But this is more like a description. It's more like an indicative. It's not exactly in Hebrew, but it has more of that descriptive tone to it. Let the wise hear and increase. And what's interesting about that further is that in the first three purpose statements, he is concerned with how to become wise. But here he says, let the wise, the one who is already wise, hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance. So what does he mean by this? Well, what he means is that this business of becoming wise, of gaining wisdom, is a lifetime affair. It's not something just for young people at Union University who are on the verge of careers and marriages and families of their own and such, and then the whole it's over. No, it is the kind of thing the Apostle Paul meant when he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, as he's languishing in prison, "When you come, bring the books and the parchments. I've got more studying to do. I've got more learning to do. I haven't arrived yet." So what verse 5 describes is another part of this picture of wisdom, that in order to be wise, you have to be wise. And if you say, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is you have to desire wisdom. You have to want wisdom. And for all of your life, you will never stop. And I can attest at my advanced age that there are lots and lots of things that I have to learn just about every day. Just by the way, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but as it happens, I learned this from somebody else years ago. I read a chapter of the Proverbs every day, so I read through the Proverbs every month. And one of the things that strikes me about it is that even though I've read it so many times over the years, it's like I am being reminded of things that I've heard and read 1,000 times before, but I say, yes, Lord, I need that today. I need, as the great Samuel Johnson said in the 18th century, people don't often understand that we need to be reminded more than instructed. I need that. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Solomon is filling out his complex purpose statement. And now he says, in addition to all these other things that he wants to accomplish, to introduce us to this life, to help us, encourage us to commit to this life, embrace this life, to help us develop, transform, mature from silly and simple to serious, to cultivate a lifelong desire for growing and maturing in wisdom. But then he says, you know, there's a challenge in all this, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. What Solomon has in mind here is not some kind of intellectual, philosophical puzzle or enigma or a Rubik's Cube or a Buddhist koan. What is the sound of one hand clapping? What did your face look like before your parents were born? Those are just kind of unanswerable. That's not what Solomon means. What he means is that life is almost never as simple as we would like it to be. It just almost never is. I teach counseling now and again, and one of the things that I always say in a counseling class is, it's kind of a truism in the field of counseling, the presenting problem is never the problem. It's true. You can count on it. Take it to the bank. The presenting problem is never the problem. Whatever the individual being counseled says first is never the problem. It's not that it isn't a problem, but it's not the problem. So Solomon says part of the training of wisdom is grappling with the complexities of life and bringing to bear on the complexities of life the deep things of God. Let me just give you one quick example because my time is getting away, but In Proverbs 26, I love this one. This is kind of the classic illustration. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. What? And look it up in Hebrew. We got some Hebrew students here. Look it up in Hebrew. The words are exactly the same. The structure is exactly the same. Just with the addition of the word not in verse 4. So don't answer a fool according to his folly. answer a fool according to his folly? Well, if you read, and we're not going to take time for it this morning, but if you read, you'll see that he's simply noting that there's a delicate balance here of confronting foolishness without becoming foolish yourself. So, this is part of the purpose of wisdom, is to teach us how to understand those kinds of things. And then we have to hasten to a close. Verse 7, the verse that everybody knows in Proverbs. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible is Job chapter 28, where Job, after hearing from his friends and pondering the mystery of his suffering in the light of the goodness of God, he asks the great question of life, where is wisdom to be found? Right now we're following the story of the 33 miners half a mile underground in the Chilean desert and praying for their safe return to their homes and families, but Job uses mining as an illustration. He says, we dig holes in the ground, we take lights down there, and we dig out gold and silver. But wisdom can't be found that way. We can't find wisdom that way. And it's far more precious than gold and silver, but you can't buy it. So where is wisdom to be found? Job answers his own question. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He established it. He searched it out. God made it all. He established it all. He understands every particle of it. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. 2 weeks from today, God willing, I'm going to be in Munich. And I'm going to visit, as I did last year, only briefly, but this time I hope a longer visit, the Dachau concentration camp where so many people died. It's set right in the middle of a residential neighborhood. My son was there a few years ago on business, and he visited Dachau, and he said you could still smell the crematorium. Anyway, you know that whole terrible, terrible story. In January, my wife and I will lead tours to Israel, and we'll visit Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum there, the Shoah Museum in Jerusalem. And if time permits, I'll take our group over to see Corrie ten Boom's marker in the Garden of the Righteous of those who helped preserve the lives of the Jewish people. You know, there were Nazis involved in the Holocaust who managed to make themselves wealthy, often with the treasures of Jewish families, and they lived out their lives in Argentina or somewhere. Corrie ten Boom's family protected Jewish people because they believed it was God's will for their lives. And Corrie ten Boom lived to tell about it, but her sister Elizabeth died in a concentration camp herself. Which way of life is the way of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you have revealed to us in your word the way of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to embrace that way of life in a world that cares nothing for it at all. Help us, Lord, to grapple with the hard things according to the riches of your truth. And help us, Lord, above all, to seek your wisdom in Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, in whose name we pray. Amen.